If you have John 15, if you're able to, let's stand out of respect of God's word. John chapter 15, let's read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll pray and be seated after that. John chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The title of the message this evening is The Secret of the Vine. The Secret of the Vine. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we do need your help, and I pray that you would fill me with your spirit as I communicate your truth. And Lord, help us to receive this message as it truly is, a message from God and from your word to our hearts. Help us to apply it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Andrew Murray tells a story of Hampton Court, London, where there was a vine in this particular vineyard that was just absolutely thriving. The grapes were large, the clusters were magnificent, and the fruit of it was just so sweet. And it was absolutely thriving. But the unique thing was, it was during a drought. And all the other vines in the vineyard were actually starving. They were dying. Other vineyards as well were struggling because of this long drawn out drought. Well, the secret they found after they did further investigation, they discovered what the secret was for this vine. We're going to find out tonight that the secret of victory lies in the secret of the vine. What was the secret of the vine? We're going to understand this, that victory comes when the actual person of Christ lives through the believer. Victory, spiritual victory, the Christian life, all of that actually comes when the person of Jesus Christ himself is actually living in and through us. But how do we access his life? What is that secret? As the Holy Spirit would illuminate the truth in the passage, you just ask the Lord, "Lord, speak to my heart, teach me." I had read John chapter 15 for so many years, but I missed the main real truth of it and exactly what abiding actually means. Ask the Lord to help you tonight as we look at this. We're going to look at three secrets tonight. The first is this. Number one, the secret of nothing. Number one is the secret of nothing. What do you mean, the secret of nothing? Look at the passage of Scripture. The Bible says this in verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." We're going to look at the branch and how it cannot bear fruit by or of itself. Look at verse 5. "I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but," or "for, without me, ye can do nothing." What is the secret of nothing? The secret of nothing is this, is that the branch by itself is dead and worthless. The branch can bear no fruit of any type. It is powerless in and of itself. There's a total inadequacy with the branch, and the branch represents you and me. We without Christ have nothing to offer. If you cut off a branch from your tree, immediately it begins that dying process. It's not going to be right away. It'll still be flexible and the leaves will still be green. There aren't any leaves at this point. But as the heat continues, there is heat coming later. As the heat continues and bears down on that branch that's severed from the tree, that branch is not going to be flexible, but it will snap in two if you try to bend it. The green leaves are turned brown and will crumble at your touch. Why? Because it's been severed, and by itself, it has no life in and of itself. The Bible says we are the branches and we can do no thing, nothing. No thing can you do in and of your life on your own. How many of you are saved here tonight? Would you say amen? If you're saved. Okay, now how much of your saving or the saving process did you do and how much did Jesus do? Did you do 50% and he do 50%? No, he can't do that. Did you do 25 and he do 70? How about you just do 10 and he does 90% of it? No. How much of the saving process did you do? Zero. Now, some have come up to me and say, well, I remember this older gentleman in Mobile, Alabama, years ago. He said, you know, salvation's a work. And I knew he knew better. He's just trying to argue. And I said, no, it's not. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you have to ask for it. You know what? The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. His grace does all of the saving, 100% of it. And we just simply access his grace through faith. And that is not a work, according to Romans 4:5. The truth is, we can do nothing in the Christian life as well. If it's 0% for us, and Jesus does all of the saving and salvation, then why is it when we come to the Christian life that we can do something? It's hard for us to get to the place where we can do nothing. The John 6:63, the flesh profiteth nothing, no thing whatsoever. Would you recognize that we have nothing to offer God? Let's illustrate it in this way. How about you go home and you're hungry and maybe you go through the cupboards and you open the fridge and you go, there's nothing to eat. Okay, now, have you perhaps ever thought that or said that? But the truth is, if you open your fridge, you have some food there. If you get to the freezer or the deep freeze, you've got some food. In fact, if you open the pantry, you put everything you have out, you could probably eat for 3 months. You've been stacking it up all during the pandemic. And, you know, you could eat for a long time. And you say, there's nothing to eat. Well, there's nothing good to eat or it's not easy to fix. So you want to go out to eat. You know, that's an excuse. It's hard for us to get to the place where we recognize nothing. Can I pick on the ladies for just a moment? Ladies, have you ever gone to your closet and you open up your closet and you say, I have nothing to wear? Now, what you mean is you have nothing to wear with that outfit or no accessories or whatever. It's very complex and I don't understand it all. But you have plenty to wear as you try to pull out that one garment from the closet because it's so packed. I'm really going to be in trouble after this. But you say, I have nothing to wear. It's hard for us. You know, the Bible describes us before God Almighty in Isaiah 40 as, in fact, all the nations before God are as nothing and are less than nothing or vanity. You put them on the scale and there's nothing there. No weight to it whatsoever of eternal value. Nothing I am, nothing I say, nothing I do, nothing I have can help me live the Christian life. You know, the first step in all of this victory is coming to the fact and the recognition that I cannot offer God anything. You know, your personality doesn't help. I've heard one say, oh, that guy, if he got saved, man, would he help the cause of Christ? You know what? As if, you know, he's a good candidate to be saved because he's clean cut, he has good business dealings, he's a, you know, for the most part, honest individual. No. You know who would make a great candidate for salvation? A down and outer who is totally, absolutely at his bottom level saying, right, I messed up, I've blown everything. And all he looks up to God and says, God, would you ever be merciful to me, a sinner? And he can be saved. You know, that person that recognized that they can do nothing. It's not my words. It's not my works. And we're going to recognize that. If we can understand something, look at John chapter 5. This is really something I learned from even that pamphlet, how Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at John chapter 5 in verse 19. The Bible says this, John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily. Now, what does that mean, those two words? Verily, verily means what? Truly, right? Okay, this is verily. This is truly what I'm going to say to you. Now, if Jesus said something, it's going to be true. But if Jesus said, hey, what I'm going to tell you is going to be true, That's pretty important. But what if he said, what I'm going to tell you is going to be true, what I'm going to be telling you is going to be true? He said it twice. Then maybe he's going to say something that's shocking. What does he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do, what's it say? Nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What is Jesus saying? Jesus was God before he was ever born here on this planet. Jesus, God's Son, left heaven to come to earth. When he did so, he was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. God in the flesh, the God-man. The deity of Christ is absolutely essential in our doctrine and understanding salvation and all of this. He is not saying he's not God. But what is he saying? When he came to this earth, he didn't come in his full Shekinah glory, we understand that, but as well, at some point, he laid aside the use of his attributes to be able to, in human form, be our example of the Christian life. In fact, in John 5 and verse 30, it says, I can of mine own self, he repeats it, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And we see later on in John chapter 14, he says, it's not my words and it's not my works, but it's the Lord Jesus. An incredible thing. So would we recognize if Jesus came to this recognition, and as he was our example, he was our example for us to recognize in the human form, the body, and we as people can offer nothing to God, but we must be filled with his Spirit and to access Christ's life in and through us. Number one is the secret of nothing. Number two, the second secret is the secret of everything. If we saw the secret of nothing, let's see, secondly, the secret of everything. Look back in our passage of John chapter 15. Notice, if you will, verse 5. Let's go ahead and, let's look at verse 5. The Bible says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Here Jesus is saying that he is the vine. In verse 1, Jesus explains, I am the true vine. Again, that true source, the only true source. And my Father is the husbandman. So Jesus is the vine. What is the secret of everything? The secret of everything is that the vine has all the nutrients that the branch needs. The vine has all the life that the branch needs to be able to produce that fruit and that growth. Everything that is needed for the branch is found in one source, and that's the vine. It doesn't have to go anywhere else. And Andrew Murray said in his book, Absolute Surrender, if I am something, then God is not everything. But when I become nothing, God can be all. So first, we need to understand the secret of nothing so we can understand the secret of everything. If you had nothing else, you had nothing in your bank account, you had nothing in your cupboards, you had no cupboards, and you had no home, you had no vehicle, and everything was stripped away from you, would Jesus still be everything to you? As we recognize Jesus in us and living through us, here is the vine of him. But not only does he say, I am the vine, but he says, I will be in you. He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. In verse 5, it says, he that abideth in me and I in him. Now, for a number of years, I thought this was just kind of beautiful language, poetic language, but it's the Holy Spirit that's in us when we trust Jesus Christ. But here Jesus is explaining that he's going to be in us. Look back at John chapter 14. John 14, the Bible says this, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now notice, look at verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. How do they know the Holy Spirit? They had not met him, had they? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he says, okay, the Holy Spirit's going to be in you. So they were settled. It's the Holy Spirit. But then look at verse 18. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. He will come to you. No. He's talking about the comforter that's come. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Doesn't it make sense that he says, I'm talking to you about another that's going to come. He's a comforter. He's the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come. I won't leave you comfortless. He doesn't say he will come to you. He says, I will come to you. So who is it that's inside of me? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it Jesus Christ? And the answer is yes. Yes. Okay, well, apparently you've heard something like that before because you're shaking your head quite a bit. What is this all talking about? Yes, when you trust Jesus Christ, automatically, instantaneously, the Holy Spirit moved inside. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside your body. Your body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Romans chapter 8. And we could see other passages of Scripture where it's very clear that the Spirit of God is inside of us. But the filling of the Spirit, as we talked about last night, is different. We need to take and drink and yield and depend upon the Spirit of God to channel and flow through us. Now watch this. When I am filled with the Holy Spirit, it is literally and actually the person of Jesus Christ being lived through me by the power of the Spirit. It is that Romans 8, 10 and 11, where it talks about, and if Christ be in you, the body is now dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of Christ Jesus. And it said, and if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. What is that quickening? That's revival. Revival is that life again. If it's life again, then it is Jesus Christ literally and actually living through us. So then it's his quality of life. It's his power that comes with his life. It's the victory that comes with his life. So what is it that you can't say no to? What temptation can you not overcome? What obstacle throughout your day? What fiery dart can you not quench through the shield of faith? What is it that cannot be accomplished? We need to understand that the Spirit of God lives out the very life of Jesus, just like he did so when Jesus was on this planet. Isn't that incredible? When I am yielded to the Spirit of God, and I'm experiencing victory. Now, for years, no doubt, every time I just said, dear God, help me. Lord, I'm trusting you. I can't do this. And when I'm doing so, I had victory. I may not have understood everything, but the more you understand about these truths, the better it's going to help you to be more consistent and really recognize that the victory comes not from you just being, man, I'm energized. I'm caffeinated, unlike Pastor. And, I just really feel energetic today, man. No, it's not you just being like on ultra vitamin B complex or B12 or whatever. It's you being replaced by Jesus Christ in you. It's Jesus Christ instead of you. Now, are you experiencing that kind of victory? His kind of victory, which is the only victory. How about victory over thoughts that are wrong and perverted, that are pulling you down? Some in here think, nah, I never can get victory over that. How about victory over your irritated spirit and your anger? I'm not angry. Stop telling me I'm angry. I get so angry at my anger. You know, that probably doesn't help. You think, there's no way. I'm German. This is the way I am. I am too, okay? So it's all right. How about you? Well, what is it? Well, I just get this, just dealing with difficult people. You know, I have a hard time dealing with difficult people. And, I'm so short-tempered. And instead of the long-suffering, I have short-suffering. It's the opposite of having a long fuse. It's a short fuse. Watch out, it's dynamite. But we have this mentality sometimes that I can never get victory. Well, you in and of yourself cannot. This is not like saying, okay, add something else to help you. This is allowing the Spirit of God to channel through you from the inside out the very life of Jesus Christ, to think like the mind of Christ, to temper your spirits and control you, to have your demeanor and your personality and all of that animated by the very person of Jesus Christ in you. So how do we get that? The secret is in one other secret. We saw the secret of nothing. Secondly, the secret of everything. So the third secret is this. Number three, the secret of nothing, getting everything. What is this? This is all talking about the word abide, abiding. Look at John chapter 15. Notice in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, abide in me. And then it says this, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Watch this. Here's the only way for the branch to bear fruit. Here's the only way for the branch to have life, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. The only hope, the only option, the only thing you can do is abide. To be able to get this life in you is to abide as Jesus is explaining to us. What is this taking place? What does it mean? The word abide basically means to stay, to remain, to continue. Okay, so you go home tonight. Your headlights sweep over into your yard, and maybe you have a tree. And let me ask, when you come and your headlights come into your yard, do you see your branches kind of meandering around your yard? They're out grazing or whatever. You know, just kind of wandering around, just exploring. Oh, no, they're home. Hurry. Get connected to to the tree. And they scurry up the tree and they get connected. No, it doesn't happen like that. That'd be very weird. They stay connected all day. They remain there. They continue to abide. Okay. So that's what the basic word means. But what's the spiritual decision that we need to make that's abiding? Well, let me ask, do the branches moan and groan? I've been to the orange groves and different citrus groves down in Florida. I love that. And being able to pick off a fruit and be able to eat it right there is just excellent. You know, all those groves or apple orchards or whatever. You know what? I've never heard the branches going, come on, bear fruit. This is so hard. We got to bear fruit. We got to do better than last year. Come on, this is so difficult. No. You know what they do? They just continue to stay connected. They remain. They stay. They abide. Andrew Murray put it this way. They rest in the vine. They depend. They rely. You know what the spiritual decision is? It's a decision of faith. A conscious decision to say, dear God, I can offer you nothing in and of myself. Jesus, you are my everything. You are my vine. And the only way for me to have life and to bear fruit is to abide. And I'm going to rest in you. I've been trying. I've been struggling. I've been striving to do better. I got to get better as a Christian. I want to have revival. I want to lead my family in a better way. We want to see souls saved. God, we want to make that person come for friend night and trust Christ. No. You rest and you abide, and what happens as a byproduct? His life produces his fruit. And we see this throughout the passage. What's the whole point? Why does he want us to abide? So you can bear fruit. Notice the levels of fruit bearing. Look at verse 2. It says this, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here is a branch that bears not fruit. It's still a branch, but it's not bearing fruit. Okay, and then there's a branch that's bearing fruit. He's going to purge it. He's going to lift it up. He's going to clean it, cut it back, and so it can bring forth more fruit. Is there another level? Yes, there is. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So the one that continues to abide is going to get to that next and the highest level of fruit bearing is much fruit. So there's no fruit, there's fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Okay, so what happens with the branch that does not bear fruit? Well, look at verse 6. Now we'll explain this. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. What is this talking about? Well, let's tell you what it's not talking about. It's not talking about hell. It's not talking about losing your salvation. This passage of scripture is not you trusting Jesus to be your savior. It's your abiding. As a Christian, you can choose to abide, and there's times you choose not to abide. And when you're abiding, you're accessing his life, and his life will produce his fruit. But if you're not abiding, then you are guaranteed you're going to have no fruit that's going to come. Now, there are days when you have no fruit. Why? Because you have self. And self is there. Now, what is the fruit an indicator of? Are you ready for this? Are you thinking? The fruit is an indicator of the Spirit-filled life. That's what it's an indicator of. You know, if you don't have fruit on Monday, you say, oh, man, it was a bad day. Oh, this is so bad. And I was just not getting victory. And this was, you don't go, man, am I not saved? You shouldn't have those questions. You should say, okay, I have trusted Christ. What does he say? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I have everlasting life. I just have not been accessing the abundant life. I'm not trusting him to be able to get the fruit. And so what does he do? He says, those branches are worth nothing, and so they need to be taken out and burned. You can't do anything with these vines. They're not branches from your tree that are large. You can't build furniture. You can't burn them for really good firewood. And it's just a matter of just putting them out there, and they're worth nothing. You can't do anything with them. You can't build anything with them. You can't build a house with these vines. The branches from these type of vineyards. There's nothing that can take place. So we need to recognize if we're not bearing fruit, you need to bear fruit. How do you do that? You don't try harder, you abide. Say, okay, Lord, help me to start bearing fruit. Wouldn't it be entry level, at least fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And it continues long-suffering in all of those. Would we have the fruit of the Spirit? Do you see that in your heart and your life? Would you say, dear God, I haven't been seeing the fruit of the Spirit in me like I ought to. Lord, would you help me to get to that first level of fruit bearing? And that's no doubt, at least, the fruit of the Spirit. Some say that this passage is talking just simply about souls. I don't know if that could say exclusively, but would you not include a matter of souls that would be saved? At least impacted by an impactful witness, a powerful witness that's not of us, but by the Spirit of God. Wouldn't you think somewhere along the line, the one that's bearing fruit would then be able to be purged and cleaned up, and God helps you to see even the excess you didn't see before, and he cleans you up even more, and now you're being able to bear more fruit. Wouldn't that be souls trusting Christ, at least somewhere along the line? Souls hearing the gospel message through your witness. It thrilled my heart to hear about the divine appointments of ones. I prayed for this, to be able to invite that person. God's doing these type of things. God's opening up the doors. And ask the Lord for that more fruit. And Lord, I can't, but you can. And your life, you can help me to see people saved. God can help you trust him to be able to see people saved. God can use you. You need to trust him for that. But if you don't, if you're not, what does the Bible say? What does the Lord Jesus say about salt that's lost its savor? It's good for... I didn't say it. Jesus did. You know, if we're not being salty, if we're not helping people come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a desire and a thirst for him, then the truth is we're not fulfilling what we're here on this planet for. So you say, dear God, help me to bring forth more fruit. But somewhere along the line, there's going to be a hunger and a thirst and say, dear God, you know the need better than we do. Look at our country. Look at our state. Look at our city. God, there are so many millions of people dying and going to a place called hell. Lord, would you bring forth much fruit? We saw some of that much fruit this last year. It was only by God's grace. It was Him totally that did that. It wasn't a striving. It wasn't, okay, we're making this happen. It was, Lord, we can't. Lord, help us and intervene. And Lord, we need this. So many miracles took place. We're asking God to be able to provide for us in our area-wide crusade in the fall. And 2 weeks before the crusade, the public school that we had a contract with, took it up to a board. The board made it, the school board, and they canceled our agreement. 2 weeks before, we were supposed to have 8 to 10 churches come together for this area-wide crusade. I got the call when I'm driving to Pennsylvania for this meeting to prepare for it. I pull off at a rest area. I get on my face in my trailer before God, and I'm crying. I'm pouring out my heart. I said, God, would you intervene? Would you help? Would you stop this vote? But it went through and they canceled. Now we're without. You know what? It was all in His timing and it was all in His better plan. We had to trust Him. We then said, okay, we're going to have to rent a tent. And man, that's going to be probably another $8,000, $9,000. And you get sound equipment, platform, and lights. And it wasn't that much. And thankfully, but a week and a half before it took place, we realized that we could get a tent. And God provided that, and just so many things that answers a prayer. And we saw 53 people trust Jesus Christ as Savior just in that one crusade. And God did that work. We saw, of course, the crusade in India this last year as well. And God is doing so much. I want to be in that place where I can just at least not get in the way of God wanting to do much fruit. And I've just been impressed with the floods, the rivers of the much fruit, things beyond myself, beyond even my vision. You know what? We need to come into line with God's vision and God's burden, and we need to recognize that. Would you do that tonight? Say, dear God, I need more fruit. Would you believe Him for the greater works? In John chapter 14, it says in verse 10, believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. He said, He does the words and the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You know what he said? He said, you can do greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you, and He can help you do that and bear that fruit. And the whole key to that, what do you think? Verse 10, believest. Verse 11, believe me. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. It's believing Him. Would we confess our sin of unbelief and saying, dear God, we're not trusting you like we ought to. We need to bear more fruit. But finally, with all of this, what do we see? We see in verse 7 of John chapter 15 answers to prayer. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Are you seeing prayers answered? If there's a request, but they say, hey, would you pray for this? Because we know you ask God for things and He gives them to you. Do you have that relationship? He's your Father. He's your Father. You know what you can do? You can actually pray. And there's sometimes God perhaps wants you to pray in your closet and not tell anybody else what you're asking. So you know that God is answering you. I needed a new pair of dress shoes. And so I asked the Lord for dress shoes. But I asked the Lord for brown dress shoes. I asked the Lord for brown Johnston and Murphy dress shoes. I asked the Lord for brown Johnson and Murphy dress shoes and a very particular brand and model of shoes. And I was very, very specific. He says, if you ask what ye will. And so he said, Lord, is it okay? And I didn't tell anybody else I was asking for these dress shoes. And, you know, some weeks went by and a couple months went by. And I could have saved money over several months and bought the dress shoes. But I said, Lord, I want to know that you're hearing my prayer for a need of dress shoes. And so we're going to a church, and the pastor says, hey, the assistant pastor will help you get set up. So he's out there helping us. And he said, hey, Brother Miller, while you're here, if you have any suits that need dry cleaned, we have a dry cleaner. They're really fast and a good deal. I said, yeah, that'd be awesome. And I said, thank you. And he said, no problem. He said, also, if you need any dress shoes, the church would like to get them for you. I almost started to cry. All the guys go, that's dumb. All the ladies go, I would cry over a pair of shoes. because I knew when he said it, that this is the answer to my prayer. So the pastor said, so I hear you need a pair of dress shoes. I said, yes, sir, this is the answer to prayer. That's great. He said, well, I'll take you out. We'll go. And he said, do you know what kind you want? I said, yes. I've been asking for a specific kind. And so he took me to a place, and they had Johnson & Murphy, but they only had like one or two choices in this store. And they said, is this the kind? I said, no, it isn't. But he said, okay, that's okay. Just right across the street, there's another store. So we went across the street and went there. And are these the ones? I said, no, they aren't. And I said, hey, look, it's okay. We can get one of these. He said, no, we're going to get you the ones that you want to get and that you've been thinking about. And so we went to another store. They didn't have it. No shoe store in the town. I said, look, well, let's just get another pair. He said, no. They special ordered dress shoes exactly the ones that I asked for, had them shipped in to a store locally, brought them there, and I'm wearing my prayer shoes here tonight. When I put on these brown shoes, I know and I'm reminded that God heard my prayer for a pair of shoes that I needed. God can hear you. And he's your father. And what is the key? If we're not getting our prayers answered, and if we're not bearing fruit, and we're not seeing the greater works, it's not trying harder. It's not being a better Christian. It's abiding. If we're not experiencing those things, what are we not doing? According to the passage, we're not abiding like we ought to. Tonight, will you depend? Will you rely on Jesus Christ to live through you and do what you cannot, and let his words abide in you? Will you rest in him just like the branch rests in the vine? As they investigated that one vine that was flourishing during a drought, they saw that the root system went several feet. In fact, it went past the vineyard. And they kept digging and just trying to explore without messing it up. And they found out it went 100 feet and then 200 feet. And he said this, it went hundreds of yards to the Thames River. And I said, no. I've got to check this source out again. I looked at another source, hundreds of yards. I said, well, that's online. I got to look at something printed in hard, actual black and white on paper. Andrew Murray's books, a couple of them, hundreds of yards. And it brought that moisture all through the root system, upward through the vine, to the branches that the entire time were just sitting there. The entire time just continuing to abide. The entire time just deeply resting in the vine to do all the work. Would we do the same? Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it and help us to respond to you in sincerity and in truth based upon your word. And Lord, help us. Lord, I pray. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, let me ask, dear Christian, are you abiding tonight like you ought to? First of all, let me ask, when it comes to fruit bearing, where are you? Is it no fruit? Is it fruit? He wants to purge you to bring forth more fruit. If it's more fruit, you know what he wants? Much fruit. None of us have arrived. None of us. If God's spoken to you, say, Brother Miller, God's spoken to me about going to the next level of fruit bearing, and I want that, and I see the key is abiding. If that's true for you, can you raise your hand throughout the room? God bless you. so many, a majority of folks. That's wonderful. You can place your hands down. Let me ask secondly, specifically in that greater work, she said, Brother Miller, there's some things in my life I think I just can't do. Maybe it's getting victory over sin, or maybe it's doing this greater impossible thing. And I've been limiting God. I have not been trusting Him. I've had the sin of unbelief. God's spoken to me about doing those greater works and having His life in me. Whatever it is, I'm going to trust the Lord for this specific area that He wants me to trust Him for. If that's true for you, can you raise your hand? God bless you. Wonderful. That's specific decisions right there. Amen. You can place your hands down. Let me finally ask about prayer. Have you been seeing your prayers answered? Just say, God's spoken to me about that verse 7, abide in Him and His words abide in me. And I could ask what I would, and He would do it. And I haven't been getting my prayers answered like I ought to. The Lord's spoken my heart about that. If that's true for you, would you slip your hand up? God's spoken to me about my prayer life. God bless you. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's great. You can place your hands down. Would you look this way? Would you look right here? In just a moment, we'll do like we've done each night. We'll stand. I'm going to pray. We'll have the pianist play after that. Would you just take a moment after that and find a place at the front, get alone, or get to the side with the Lord. Sit or kneel, whatever is that you can do physically, and just respond to Him and respond tenderly like you've been doing so, and ask the Lord to do what only He can do and abide in Him. Would you do that? Everyone standing. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please grant us what you promised in the Word of God when we abide? And Lord, would you bring forth much fruit in our lives? Lord, would you help us to see greater works and victory in our life in specific areas of dependence? Lord, help us in each of these that have raised their hand about their prayer life. Help us to respond and see to pray, see us truly have our prayers life changed. So Lord, I ask, would you do this work? With their heads bowed, with their eyes closed, God's spoken to you. Would you step out and come just right now?